This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed a COVID-19 outbreak at the facility. Meanwhile, the hospital is the most overcrowded in Ireland today, with 40 people awaiting admission there this morning. The Taoiseach says the Omicron variant of COVID-19 continues to spread rapidly and is a serious threat. And the isolation period for people who test positive for COVID-19 has been cut from 10 to 7 days in Northern Ireland. Josh and Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport, but returning to our top story now. Management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed a COVID-19 outbreak at the facility. Coupled with the outbreak on site, attendances at the hospital are currently very high. As a result, a number of elective procedures and surgeries have been postponed. With more, here is Cleona O'Dwyer.
In a statement, management says the situation has been exacerbated by the rising COVID-19 cases in the community, along with the COVID-19 outbreak on the site. In light of the significant impact this is having, the hospital is postponing a number of elective procedures in order to redeploy staff to support essential emergency care. Patients are being contacted directly if their procedure is being postponed. All-day surgeries due to take place tomorrow and next week have been postponed. All routine inpatient surgeries scheduled for next week have also been postponed. Time-sensitive, urgent cases will proceed when it's safe to do them. The situation is being kept under constant review. Outpatient services, ambulatory gynecology, endoscopy and other non-theatre day cases will proceed. The hospital regrets patients are having their procedures postponed and would like to apologise for the delays. Letterkenny University Hospital is also advising that people presenting to the emergency department are currently experiencing long waiting times. Given the volume of patients attending the emergency department, the hospital is asking the public to contact their GP during normal surgery hours or the Now Doc GP out of hour service in the first instance if their health problem is not urgent.
Well, the hospital was the most overcrowded nationwide today, with 40 people awaiting admission there this morning. 11 people were on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 29 were waiting on wards. The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, meanwhile, says hospitals are facing an unbearable situation due to the Omicron variant of COVID-19. It's called on the HSE to urgently implement a new plan for dealing with what it calls an escalating crisis. General Secretary of the INMO, Phil Nihay, says healthcare workers are under huge pressure.
Nurses are saying to us and midwives at the moment that this strain is becoming unbearable. It was described yesterday by a number of nurses to me as this is firefighting at its worst. We're moving patients from location to location. We're overcrowded. Patients are on top of each other. This is a really bad environment in which to try and deliver any type of safe care.
The Taoiseach says the Omicron variant of COVID-19 continues to spread rapidly and is a serious threat. Earlier today, Labour leader Alan Kelly says there has been silence from the government over record levels of infection and PCR test shortages. He said there is no clarity on how our country will operate next week, asking where is the leadership. In a tweet posted this afternoon, Micheál Martin urged people to get a booster vaccine, saying 417,000 doses have been given in the last week. The isolation period for people who test positive for COVID-19 has been cut from 10 to 7 days in Northern Ireland. The change takes effect tomorrow and is subject to a negative antigen test on day 6 and 7. The Stormont executive met earlier and decided not to introduce any more COVID restrictions. Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill says the focus will be on personal responsibility.
Well, we're clearly in a very difficult period and the Omicron variant is spreading rapidly throughout the community. And it now accounts for more than 90% of all of our COVID cases here. We know that this variant is highly transmissible, so it's really, really important that everyone takes steps to minimise the risk of transmission.
The HSE is under increasing pressure to reinstate the COVID-19 testing centre in Buncrana. The pop-up facility ceased operations in September, with people in Inishowen having to make the journey to Letterkenny to be tested. The call comes amid the centre in Letterkenny currently being described as a bottleneck. when they closed the centre in Bonkrana. Reassurances were given then that the decision would be kept under review. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Jack Murray, says surely the demand now speaks for itself.
I've been absolutely inundated with messages of people from all over in Inishowen, and they're just at their wits' end as to why they can't get an appointment to get a test. I think there was barely a Christmas dinner table this year in Inishowen that I would know of that didn't have empty seats as people were isolating, people were waiting on tests, and it does feel that the virus now is absolutely everywhere. Every family in our peninsula is being touched. And to add to that frustration, people are now, if they can possibly get a test, because I know there's no test available in Letterkenny again today, but if they can get a test, that they have to travel to Letterkenny. And you're talking travel from Ballinhead, Greencastle. That's a considerable journey. And some people obviously mightn't have access to transport. So we did have a test centre in Bonkrana when numbers were much, much lower than they are today. When that was taken away, the HSE said they would keep it under review. So now I think it's well past time that we get that test centre back in Bonkrana, back in Inishowen, so that local people can avail of it. And also that would alleviate the pressure that the Letterkenny Test Centre is under at this minute too.
At the time when they did cease operations in Bonkrana, they also said, as well as saying it would be kept under review, that it would be fairly straightforward to reinstate it. So the question really does remain as to why it hasn't been, particularly as you say, when the cases are through the roof.
Absolutely, I can see no argument whatsoever that it wouldn't be returned based on the assurances that the HSE had given us at the time when it was taken away. So if it is as easy as they say to bring it back and bring it back immediately, because people are crying out, every single corner of Inishowen, people are crying out for the service to be restored. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're 2 years into a pandemic, and now's not the time to be penny pinching or cutting corners. The people need the supports that they need in their own community, and as accessible as possible without any obstacles to get the test that they need.
The Chief Medical Officer is urging people to avoid crowded shops due to the spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Dr. Tony Houlihan says the strain is accelerating rapidly and that everyone should consider themselves potentially infectious. Infectious Diseases Consultant Dr. Owen De Barra says the true scale of infections is unknown.
The testing system is completely full at the moment. I think we all know many people who've been up till midnight trying to get PCR slots. The system can't cope, and we don't have an idea of demand, or at least the HSE doesn't release us, you know, how many clicks they're actually getting to try to get slots. So there are probably many, many more infections out there that either can't get a test, are not going to bother getting a follow-on test, or indeed have such minimal symptoms that they're not going to get.
High demand for self-referred PCR tests means the HSE website is running out of slots in seconds by day and crashing at night. That's according to the developer of a web app which sends out alerts for open appointments. The HSE insists most people who want an appointment can get one. William O'Connor, who first set up the system to try and book himself in, says the HSE website clearly can't cope with the traffic it's getting every night.
It's kind of sporadic the way they're released. A couple of thousand seem to come out pretty much on the nose of midnight. But I think the HSE website gets quite a lot of traffic at that time. This bot that essentially sends requests to the site to try and figure out if there's appointments available. Sometimes it takes a lot longer for the bot to get a response back, which is basically telling me that the website is under quite a bit of load. So this is probably people trying to get appointments themselves. It's ultimately causing the HSE website to either slow down or essentially become non-responsive.
Walk-in clinics for a booster vaccine will be available for anyone aged 30 and over this weekend at the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre. The clinics are operating today, Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 8:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. while on Monday it'll be open from 4 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. To be eligible for a booster vaccine, you must have reached the interval of at least 90 days since your second dose vaccine or single dose Johnson & Johnson jab. The Taoiseach says addressing the mica crisis in affected counties will be difficult and challenging for the government. Micheál Martin says a significant number of families will have to live in rented accommodation while reconstruction works takes place. 7,500 homes here in the northwest and west of the country will be redeveloped as part of the government's €2.2 billion redress scheme. The Taoiseach says the work on refurbishing and replacing affected houses will be a tough project to complete.
There will be challenges of that, there's no doubt, because of the fact that quite a substantial number of houses will have to be refurbished or redone again, and some will have to be rebuilt. And people will have to seek alternative accommodation for a period whilst that work is underway. So the resources are provided for both, both to enable people to rent whilst the houses are being rebuilt, but it will be challenging.
Well, Micah, must remain the number one priority for next year. That's according to the Cathéarla of the Letterkenny-Milford Municipal District. Looking ahead, Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says work must continue at national level to get a scheme over the line which greatly assists homeowners. He says the initial priority will be resolving delays affecting homeowners who have submitted Stage 1 applications.
Micah has to stay number one priority. You know, and I know it's not something that councillors can solve directly, but I think we need to continue to work with our elected representatives at the national level and ideally to get to a place where the Make Action Group have a scheme that they're happy with and a scheme that can work for the homeowners in Donegal and the other affected counties. And I think that is probably going to remain a priority, not just for 22, but for the next number of years ahead. Also, Donal, on that, the people that have four-stage applications and that are currently delayed, I think it's just very important that we get that sorted as early as possible in 2022. People have to sums of money out there on that they're waiting to get back and that they need to get back, and I think that's the first maybe priority of MICA in 2022. In terms of other issues, the Letterkenny area plan is at a stage where we hope to get it out to public consultation in the early part in January, hopefully, of 2022. And it'd be great to get to that stage. There's been an awful lot of work done on that over the last year around workshops and so on. Equally, the Letterkenny regeneration 2040, there's just a public consultation ended on that in December, and be interested now to see what has come out of that. And there's, you know, a lot of excitement around those projects for Lower Main Street, for the Cathedral Quarter, for the old courthouse, and so on. You know, there's so much potential there to make a huge difference.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with cross-channel football. Burnley manager Sean Dyche insists he's not naive enough to think tonight might be a good time to play Manchester United. The sides meet in the Premier League this evening, and United recently have received criticism for their performances against Newcastle earlier in the week, which ended in a 1-1 draw. But Dyche insists paying any attention to their opponent's recent form isn't what he wants to do tonight.
We know it's still tough to go to Old Trafford and take on Man United. We'll decide after the game how that plays out, but before it, we know we'll need everything on our side and we need to be ready to play, and we will be ready to play.
United's interim boss, Ralph Ragnick, admits he'd like to have made faster progress since taking over, but says their recent COVID outbreak hasn't helped matters.
In order to do that, you need to be able to train. And as you know, we had to close Carrington for 4 days. Before that, we had 8 or 9 field players in training.
Kickoff at Old Trafford is at 8:15, where a win tonight for United will bring them level in points with West Ham in fifth, four points behind fourth place Arsenal. The visitors will climb out of the relegation zone if they were to claim all 3 points tonight. Leicester striker Jamie Vardy could be out for up to a month with a hamstring injury. He was substituted during the 1-0 Premier League win over Liverpool this week. Vardy, who scored 9 top flight goals this season, will definitely miss Saturday's game with Norwich and could also be ruled out of the matches against Watford, Burnley and Brighton. Republic of Ireland international Aaron Connolly is set to join Middlesbrough on loan. The Brighton striker is reported to be on the brink of a deal until the end of the season. Connolly has featured for the Seagulls 6 times this season. Middlesbrough are currently 5th in the Championship after their 2-1 over Blackpool last night. Meanwhile, Championship leaders Bournemouth continue their promotion push tonight. Scott Parker's Chargers will meet Cardiff. Bristol City host Queen's Park Rangers and Nottingham Forest go up against Huddersfield, while Stoke are also in action facing Wayne Rooney's Derby. All 4 matches this evening in the Championship start at 7:45. Now, Luton's championship game at Coventry on New Year's Day has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak among their players and staff. Yesterday's match with Swansea was also called off. Just two of Saturday's second tier fixtures now remain: Sheffield United against Middlesbrough and Blackpool against Hull. Chelsea have registered an after-tax loss of £173 million up until the end of June. The club's finances results have been affected by the absence of supporters at matches during the early stages of the pandemic. The losses come despite the Londoners' triumph in the Champions League last May. It's been a busy afternoon on the darts front. Luke Humphreys is through to the quarterfinals of the World Championships. He beat Chris Dubé in the deciding set to win 4-3 in their encounter at Alexandra Palace. Mervyn King and Callan Ridds are also through after their respective ones earlier in the day. World number 21 King came from 3-1 down to beat Raymond Smith 4-3. Ridds beat Alan Souter by 4-1. It's the first set Ridds has lost in his four matches so far in the tournament, and he told Dan Dawson it's not a bad thing.
Listen, that's the best thing that's happened, losing a set, because then you don't get the people saying that you sort of win every set, you know what I mean? But as soon as I lost that set, I think I showed I came out the very much stronger player and dominated after that.
There is, of course, the evening session still to come at Alexandra Palace at the World Darts, and it sees two former champions meet tonight. The big one, Gary Anderson, is going up against Rob Cross later. Well, in rugby, Benetton's clash with Zebre in the United Championship on Sunday has been postponed. It's the fourth fixture to be called off this week, including Ulster's meeting with Leinster. Organisers say they'll consider alternative dates to reschedule the postponed games. And finally, just looking ahead to this week, again, there is, of course, New Year Day swims being organised right across the county. Several organising committees of different events have taken the decision to postpone their swims on New Year's Day. Now, if you're interested in taking part in one of those swims, you can contact your local organiser or check out their social media channels to see if they're going ahead or not. That's your sport for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Catherine.
Oshin, weather now becoming wetter earlier tonight as the rain spreads northwards, turning heavy in places. The rain will turn lighter and patchier later in the night then, becoming windy overnight but mild with lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. Closing headlines now. In management at Letterkenny University Hospital have confirmed a COVID-19 outbreak at the facility. Coupled with the outbreak, attendances at the hospital are currently very high. As a result, a number of elective procedures and surgeries have been postponed. More details, of course, on our website highlandradio.com. The isolation period for people who test positive for COVID-19 has been cut from 10 to 7 days in Northern Ireland, and the HSC is under increasing pressure to reinstate the COVID-19 testing centre in Buncrana. That's the news on Highland Radio for this evening. Your next local update will be tomorrow morning from 8. Until then, good evening. Stand by. Chris Ashmore will be here with all the latest in farming news, and the obituary notices will follow that. Good evening.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, it's the final farming slot of the year. So to reflect on what's happened in 2021 and to look ahead to some of the challenges next year, I've been speaking with the chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, Brendan McLaughlin. I began by putting it to him that it has been a year of many twists and turns.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening to all your listeners there, and a happy new year to all your listeners there. It's been a rocky road the whole way through here from this time last year. We're 2 years almost from COVID. It's been tough times. All our IFA meetings, the majority of them are online. We had them from person to person, and we had branch meetings there in person, some of them, but we had to be very careful of COVID. We didn't want any problems with COVID, because if you're found out to be holding meetings in person and something happens out of that, that's a serious situation for us. so I would not take a chance on that one. Mm. And on the roadmap last year, it was the trade for the product for producing the commodities. The sheep trade was good the whole year. The cattle trade was up and down, fairly good. It's good now at the moment, very good. And the tillage was good, milk very good, and pigs was very bad, and the grain was all right. And the biggest problem now is the fuel, the feed, and the fertilizer.
Yeah, I mean, we've had big increases already, and all the indications are that we could see an even bigger rise in inputs next year.
That's right, and we could have shown good profit this year, and heavens, it could be a disaster next year because of all the feeds. Like the fuel there is about €800 a 1,000 litres now at the moment, and the feeds up 300 plus a tonne for all feeds. Fertilisers from anything from, I've no quotes yet, from 700 plus maybe up to €1,000 for fertiliser. So what does farmers do? That's the other big thing that's on the agenda this year. Do we use, make more better use of our slurry, more better use of our farmyard manure, and try and use that the best we can?
Well, one of the challenges that the IFA, like the other farmer organisations, faces is making sure you get the message across to those in the corridors of power. And during the year, you've had a number of protests, a number of people from Donegal going up to those protests in Dublin. There is still a feeling, though, that maybe you're not always getting quite what you're shouting for.
We're never content. I'll tell you, we feel we'd not get enough for producing this cheap food, and we have to have our single farm payment supports, and we don't get supports, we're not viable. And the first thing, we had rallies all year. We had CAP rallying that, climate change, we had rallies in that as well. We had mica, a big problem here in Donegal with homes, and now farm buildings is coming on light, and that was a big one. We had a protest in Dublin with that as well, and we were the whole way through in this mica, and I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel on this mica, hopefully, as people's homes are, Chris, and that's the big important thing. And the next thing is farm buildings coming down, and that's another happening, and that will be on board for next year as well.
Now, the draft plan for the next common agricultural policy, the government here has made its submission to Brussels. Mixed views, as always, on such a plan. But overall, what's your take on it?
You know, every farmer, there are no two farmers the same. And the farmers may be happy, smaller farmers, and some larger farmers will not be happy, because when this eco scheme is taken out of your power one, there's going to be a 25% cut. And getting that money all back will be a big one. There was 10 measures on there now to take it back. They had 5 and they've run now 5 more to see if we'll draw them down to get our own money back again. This is the problem. And, you know, we had a convergence, and that was a 15% cut already before we started, and then we have another 25 on top of that. Plus, and there's probably more minor cuts, but as you said there, the deal has done. It's not totally confirmed yet. It has to be signed off in Brussels, but as far as we're concerned, I think our Minister of Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, has the whole show done. He went round the march and done everything round there to hear farmers' views, but some farmers have their own view on what they should get.
It's hard to please everybody all of the time. Now, just in terms of meetings, you've mentioned about how many of them were on Zoom. Part of the organisation's strengths is the fact that it brings people together. And for many living in rural areas, I mean, that social interaction is vital. The IFA president has been up in the county a couple of times. You've had, I think, even AGMs held in the odd farmyard as well. No doubt you're hoping that we will see in the year ahead people getting back into rooms together.
Well, please God, that will happen, because I think in person you have to be out there. For people, the farmers need each other to talk to. And, you know, it's all right having a Zoom and people are getting fed up with Zoom, but you have to get out, you have to talk for your mental stability too, and talk to someone that they can't go out because of COVID, and there's a fear out there. And our mental stability is a big thing out here, keeping farmers on board the whole time on tough times on farming. I can tell you, farming's not an easy life, but you have to enjoy it doing it. And farmers do enjoy doing it, but they like getting paid for what they're producing.
Well, one of the things going forward, no doubt we're going to have a sort of a hybrid model. There will continue to be Zoom meetings. There will be meetings person to person and in halls and hotels, etc. And on the upside, Brendan, people have been able to log into these meetings, and there's been maybe people getting involved who may not have done so previously. And just arising from that, we've had a lot of interaction with Nigel Renahan in his final months as the Ulster North Leinster chair. And now we've a new chair for the region, Frank Brady.
That's right. Nigel has done a lot here for Donegal, and thanks to Nigel there. He's done a second to none. He's there for the past 3 years while I have been here. So that was an election and went down to the wire there fairly well, and Frank came out in front. There's another thing there. We have a calendar out there for us to do with charity. And with Tom Boyd, a PRO, I did put a lot of work on it. And this is for Embrace Farm and RNLI. That's where the charity's going to, the monies. And we're collecting €10 per calendar. And the calendars are in all the co-ops and local shops.
So as we wrap things up, Brendan, looking ahead to 2022, if you have a wish list for Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnell-Ogue, what would be your top three or four items?
Our top priority is plenty of support. We need that for matter what we're doing, all the product for the public to get cheap food. And we need that, and there's no point coming with nothing, because we have to survive on the land, and we just hope his bag is full coming from Brussels when he comes back. And that's it. It was very, very important. But another thing is, hope COVID clears up as we get out to see each other. That's the second most important thing, to get out to the march, to meet people, to get IFA to see we're on the ground there. We're on the ground the whole time and whatnot, and we're there. If we can put them into march, been seen there, meeting farmers with problems here every day of the week coming into their office and our office staff. So I have to make a word of thanks to our officers and the office staff there, and Rafo, Denise here, and Rafo, and also to yourself on Highland Radio as well, because to give us airtime, what we're actually doing is very important, and all the press out there. So a word of thanks to all the press for helping us along on this issue, for they have to see it and read it or hear it from your own programme. And we thank you very much, Chris, for supporting the farmers here through this past year.
And that was Brendan McLaughlin, Chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Just before we go, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Ogue has announced over €2.7 million in funding for the expansion of the National Agricultural Soil Carbon Observatory. This investment will facilitate the purchase of additional greenhouse gas monitoring equipment to increase the range and types of soils and land uses monitored through the observatories. And a quick beef price update. The average price paid for R3 steers for the first 48 weeks of the year was €4.28 a kilo, which is 46 cent a kilo higher than the same period in 2020. Steer prices are 14% higher than they were in 2020 and 21% above the corresponding week in 2019. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. It's the final programme of the year, so may I wish you all a very happy New Year. From me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 30th of December. The death has taken place of Judy Mills, Schliefschnatt Road, Letterkenny, and formerly of Malin and Kildaff. Private family cremation will take place on Sunday in Lakelands Crematorium in Cavan at 4 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers to Hope Matter NI, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sean McGaughey, 142 Laurel Drive, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 11:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Anne Doherty, Nee Maxwell, 39, Mount Sion, Strabane, and formerly of 78, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred of Helen Brogan, Toulette, Burt. Removal tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Helen's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The wake is for family only. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to ICU ward at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.